Our sermon today is based on a reading from a prophet people usually don't hear from, a man named Haggai. It's from his book, chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai, saying, is it a time for you yourselves to live in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider how you have fared. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And you that earn wages to put them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider how you have fared. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You have looked for much and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts, because my house lies in ruins while all of you hurry off to your own houses. Therefore, the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I've called for a drought on the land and the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, on what the soil produces, on human beings and animals, and on all their labors. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of the prophet Haggai, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke with the people with the Lord's message, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. Thank you, God, for drawing near to us and promising to always be with us. Has it ever happened in your life, and I know it's happened in mine, where things just don't seem to be going your way, when nothing goes right, when nothing works out? You try your hardest and you do your best, but you have nothing to show for it. Just more and more woe and worry. You're not alone. It happens in life more than you think. It happened to the Israelites. They had finally been released from exile in Babylon and were now back in their homeland, back in the promised land. They were building houses and planting crops. They were working and earning good wages, and they were eating and drinking, but not being very merry. It sounds as though they finally had everything they wanted, and yet nothing was working out. Whatever they did was not enough. It was never enough. No matter how much they ate, they were still hungry. No matter how much they drank, they were still thirsty. No matter how hard they worked, they were still broke. No matter how much seed they planted, the crops they reaped were puny and pitiful. Frustration grabbed hold of them. They started to fret and get frantic, wondering, what's going on here? What are we doing wrong? Why aren't things happening like we want them to happen? As often occurs when God's people get to the end of their rope, desperate for answers, a prophet comes to set them straight. This time, it was the prophet Haggai who came to the people with a word from God, and his message did boil down to a single word, priorities. The people's priorities were all messed up. What was the first thing they did when they returned to Israel? They started building houses for themselves, ornate, immaculate, paneled, and pristine houses. Well, sure, they needed a place to live, but they got so caught up in making their homes safe and secure that they forgot the most important house of all, God's house, the temple, the place where the community gathered to worship and praise God, to offer thanks to God for all God had done for them. Long ago, God had brought their ancestors out of bondage in Egypt. Now God had brought them out of exile in Babylon, an exodus of their own. Yet once they got back home, it was as if they said, yeah, God, thanks, and then went about their own business, putting God on hold. We got to take care of ourselves first, they said, and then we'll get around to doing things for God. Their excuse was that it wasn't time yet to rebuild God's house. They were essentially saying the temple, and therefore God, could wait. Two decades had passed, 20 years since the return, and they hadn't done a thing to restore the temple, and it still wasn't time. God, through Haggai, called them out on their complacency, on their shrugging at the ruined temple and putting its restoration on the back burner. This was why everything was going sideways, Haggai told them. This was why they had never enough of all they wanted and needed. And as long as they kept ignoring God, they would continue to be thirsty and hungry and cold and broke. If now wasn't the time to rebuild the temple, when was it ever going to be the time? God warned them through sensate signs of their sins. Yes, neglecting God in God's house is a sin. There was a drought. Crops were failing. Their great big houses simply didn't satisfy their souls as they thought they would. The solution was simple. If they got their priorities straight, if they put God first, all the rest, all the blessings God had promised to those who worship God properly, all the blessings God promised they would find in the land of promise, all of it would fall into place. God told them to get to work and see what God would do for them. I will fill this house with splendor, heavenly, long-lasting splendor. In this place, I will give prosperity, peace, and purpose. The people repented, expressed genuine sorrow, took Haggai's words to heart, and went to work on the temple, fortified by God's promise, I am with you. As we explore the implications and impact of enough this year, we should take this particular Bible story to heart. A few centuries after Haggai, another prophet came to us with a similar message. He said to us, and we just sang it, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Both Haggai and Jesus brought a wake-up call to people, a call to faith and action. They shared that same message of priorities. It was an important message for the Israelites back then, and it is an important message for us today. If you are in a time of drought and dearth in your life, when what you have just isn't enough, when it feels like you will never have enough rest, money, solace, peace, time, stop and think. Just as Haggai twice proclaimed in this passage, consider how you have fared. Give careful thought to your ways. Where is God in the midst of your life? Is your only focus on what you need and want, or but not what God wants and needs? You say, wait a second, flag on the play. God has everything. God has enough. What could God possibly need from me? God needs your undivided attention. God needs your loyalty. God needs your worship. God needs your gifts and offerings. God needs access to your innermost thoughts and fears and hopes. God needs your trust. God needs you to prioritize God. Yes, even our great creator God needs you. God doesn't need your excuses like the Israelites had their excuses for ignoring the temple, ignoring worship, ignoring community. It just isn't the right time for God. It is always the right time for God. It is always the right time to build for God. It is always the right time to look for God. It is always the right time to work for God. Everything else in our lives is secondary, or should be. Put God first and see what happens. I told you I've been through this too. I've been long convinced that when things aren't working right in my life, I need to stop and think, consider how I have fared, ask myself, how am I out of step with God? There was a time in my life when God was not first and foremost. I was working hard and, frankly, partying hard, but there was a definite void in my life, what has been called a God-shaped vacuum. It took a time of deprivation and depression and, yes, desperation for me to smack myself upside the head and declare, what I need is God. I need to put God first. And as I drew closer to God, as I returned to church and started earnestly studying my Bible and serving God in different ways, yes, indeed, the blessings I longed for and looked for began to rain down upon me. And I don't take them for granted. I am very careful to express my gratitude to God for everything in my life, large and small, from a working garage door to a healthy and absolutely lovely new granddaughter. Priorities. What are your priorities? Are you in a drought or a dearth? Have you put God first? Prove me now, God says. See what happens when you dare, when you are brave enough, tired enough, intrigued enough, maybe even scared enough to put me first in your life. Go ahead, do it. I dare you. Let us pray. Dear God, stir up our spirits. Help us get our priorities straight. Forgive us for neglecting you and your wants and your needs. As we turn our lives over to you, offering you love and worship and service, may we receive the blessings you have promised to bestow on all who come to you with sincere repentance and eagerness to put you first. May we cling to your promise that you are ever with us and always. Thank you in advance for all that you will do for us as we strive to seek you first in everything we do. Amen.
Love incarnate, love divine, star and angels gave the sign. Thou too, babe, on bended knee, the Savior of humanity. Unto us a child is born, he shall reign forevermore. Noel, Noel, come and see what God has done. The story of amazing love, the light of the world, given for us, Noel. Son of God and Son of Man, there before the began, born to suffer, born to save, born to raise us from the grave. Christ the everlasting Lord, he shall reign forevermore.